Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is from our gospel lesson from Mark chapter 9, especially the words of the Father, "I believe, help my unbelief." This is our text. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, back in the day, it was all about family. Remember those days when the entire family would sit down at the kitchen table for dinner every single night? Or maybe you remember the days when generations of the family would gather together at grandmother's table after church on Sunday for Sunday dinner. During the Depression, when money got tight, Junior would quit school and find a job to help support the family. You're not going to see that happen today. Most likely, your everyday clothes were hand-me-downs from your older brother and sister. And you can all remember, stores weren't open on Sunday. Sundays were reserved for church and family. Back in the day, there was no I or me. It was all about the family. Those were the days. Unfortunately, things have drastically changed. Society is so focused on the individual. It's all about me and about my rights. And that could be part of the reason why we're having so many problems in the world today. I want this, I want that. And most often the phrase is, I want it now. It's a very sad condition we're in right now. Well, it wasn't that way in first century Israel. Back then, again, it was all about the family. You were very careful not to do anything wrong because you understood that your actions would either bring shame or honor, not just on yourself, but on your whole entire family. Family was important, not self. And so in our gospel lesson for today, we see a father who is very concerned for his son, and for a very good reason. In the chapters before our text for today, Jesus and the disciples had had a number of incredible events. Jesus was surveying the disciples about who the people said that he was. And he got various answers to that question, but he got down to the nitty-gritty when he asked the one important question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, in a moment of glory, jumped up and raised his hand without hesitation, and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So yeah, Peter got an A for the day, that day, for that answer. And then right after that, just before our lesson for today, Jesus and Peter and James and John go up on top of a mountain, and the disciples saw Jesus transfigured right in front of them. They got to see Jesus in all of his glory. They got to see Jesus and his real divinity. And then, if that weren't enough, standing there, right there with Jesus, was Moses and Elijah. I mean, can you imagine what a sight that was to see these two greats from the Old Testament standing there talking with Jesus? And they hear God speak from heaven, and then in a moment, it's over as quickly as it began. Well, literally, right after that mountaintop experience, Jesus and those three disciples head down the mountain to catch up with the other disciples. And what they come upon was the disciples in a huge argument with the scribes. It seems, where our text tells us, that the disciples had been trying to remove the demon from this boy, and for some reason, they couldn't do it. And while we're not told what that argument was, I can pretty much guess what the disciples were saying. They were telling the scribes, you know, we've drove out demons in Jesus' name before, and I don't understand why it's not working now. And the scribes were probably saying something along the lines, oh yeah? Well, Jesus has no authority. No one has authority to cast out demons. There's no way that you could do that, even using Jesus' name. Now, that's just my guess as to what was going on, but I think it's a pretty good guess. While the Bible doesn't tell us what that argument about, I'm sure that's a pretty good guess because of what the Father says coming up in our text very shortly. After this, we really find out what a terrible situation the boy was in. He's got a demon, and that demon leaves him unable to speak, unable to hear. Not only that, but he suffers from convulsions and seizures. He foams at the mouth and he goes rigid. And if that isn't enough, very often the demon throws him into fire or throws him in the water seeking to destroy him. I'm telling you, this boy would not be alive if his parents were not watching him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because they have no idea when this demon was going to act. And so they have to keep constant watch on the boy every moment of every day. His parents would get no rest. But you know what? That's okay. Because the boy is family. And that's what you do for family, no matter how difficult things would be. Well, after telling Jesus how difficult life has been, the Father makes his request. If you can, do anything. Have compassion on us and help us. And notice even there that the Father doesn't say, help me or help him. He says, help us. Have compassion on us. You see, it's about the family. And Jesus' response is one that is intended to strengthen the faith of the Father in Jesus. It's because that's why Jesus performed miracles. He doesn't perform miracles just to show off. He performs miracles to strengthen the faith of those who see them and reap the benefit. And so Jesus says, if I can, using the Father's own words, if I can, all things are possible for one who believes. And if you look at your worship folder carefully, you'll notice that that phrase, if I can, is followed by an exclamation mark. But you got to remember, the original Greek text doesn't have punctuation marks in it. And so those marks are put in by the translators. I think that rather than an exclamation mark, it should be a question mark. If I can, Jesus putting a question in the guy's mouth. In fact, if you look at the NIV, the New International Version, that version has a question mark after that statement. Either way, the Father responds with one of the best comebacks in the entire Bible. After Jesus says, if I can, all things are possible for one who believes, the Father responds, I believe. Help my unbelief. After that, Jesus casts out the demon. He picks the boy up, and probably for the first time in his life, this boy gets to experience life without a demon influencing him. Later, Jesus explains to the disciples why they couldn't kick it out. this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Family. Family is so important. I mean, it's your flesh and blood after all. And unfortunately, so many families are turned apart by sin. I would venture a guess that very few families today have gone through anything like this father and son. A son who has had seizures and convulsions and foamed in the mouth and was thrown into fire and water so that the parents had to watch him constantly. But then the good news. The family heard about that preacher. They heard about Jesus. They heard about his miracles and his healings, and they put their faith in him to help them out of that terrible, terrible situation. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So when situations hit your family, when there is discord, when there is struggle, when there is sickness, that small, little, short, little prayer, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, is so powerful. That is a prayer that every single one of us really does need to tape to the bathroom mirror, engrave on the refrigerator, tape to the dashboards of our car, use as screensavers on our computers. We all have faith. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here this morning. We all believe in Jesus, but we do live in a world of sin. And because of that, there is always that little bit of unbelief that filters into our lives and even affects our relationships in our families. St. Paul tells us to pray constantly. And I can't think of any other prayer that would be so helpful to us in so many aspects of our life, especially in our relationships with our families, as that short little prayer from that Father. I believe, help my unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.